Yes, sir.
Blog
Let's get
Talk
it.
Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. Come with it.
Has it mixed up a little bit. I'm electrifying while we get the show started. I appreciate that when I tried to put our names in there. Some songs that kind of represent us a little bit. You know, I'm listening to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Today is November the 2nd, 2015. My name is Jaquan J.Q. Jenkins, and as always, I got my partners in crime with me, Mr. Robert Ford. How you doing today, bro?
Man, doing great. I was actually in y'all fair rainy city today, but back in NOLA, ready to make it do to do, talk some sports.
Absolutely. I saw you posted from College Park. I was like, what? And last but not least, but Mr. Andre Peterson, how you doing, man?
What up, thank you?
I love it, man. Nice intro, man. He's trying to put me to shame, man. I'm going to have something in a couple weeks for you, JQ. Just stay tuned, bro.
All right, I like that. Well, I'm just going to sit back and drink some tea and watch y'all go head-to-head on the DJing here.
You know it ain't like that. Before we get started, we got some good topics for you guys tonight, but I want to give you some information about how you can find us, connect to us. First of all, if you want to call in and join the show tonight, the number is 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. And you can find us on Twitter at 12th Man Sports. And you can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/12thmansports, all by searching Talking Sports with the 12th Man. So let's jump into this. We got a lot of interesting topics. I'll throw it to you first there, Mr. Robert Ford. Give us a quick recap on that World Series. It didn't go quite as long as I thought, or the Mets didn't win like I thought they would, but give all the credit in the world to Kansas City.
Yeah, definitely. Congratulations to the Kansas City Royals, first World Series title in 30 years. I got to go back to the George Brett Saberhagen days. But obviously, this team was very well constructed, especially for their ballpark. It wasn't necessarily a power-hitting team, but you don't need a power-hitting team for the stadium that they play in an Arrowhead. But, they beat the Mets' best pitchers, Harvey and DeGrom. I mean, they beat Harvey again on last night. Basically just outlasted them pretty much. You can make a debate on whether or not Terry Collins left Harvey in the game too long. I personally don't think so. They were up 2-0 in the 8th inning. You know, guys pitching the shutout. Why take the guy out? Obviously, it came back. I think it's just one of those moves that just came back and backfired. But I don't think he should blame himself for keeping him in the game. I mean, it's just my personal opinion. Obviously, we were both wrong in picking the Mets to win in 5 or 6 games on last week. So, congratulations to the Royals. And like I said, they're just a smart baseball team. They're winning with speed and hitting, not necessarily power. And they just outlasted the Mets.
Absolutely. Let's go ahead and jump on that, Dre, with your own recap and also tackle that. Did Terry Collins leave Matt Harvey in the game too long?
Yeah, I definitely agree with Rob. And I'll throw this out to two guys. You think this is kind of the new way of, they always say like certain things, there's like trends now. And that since the Royals were able to kind of win it and like with hitting and what you said, Rob, kind of speed and that smart baseball, is that going to be the new trend? But, kudos, hats off to the Royals. I thought it was going to go 7 games, just like pretty much everyone. But the Royals were like, no, let's knock this out. And I think that's what's kind of the experience from the year prior, because obviously they were there last year and they were like, let's not play any games. They kind of tweaked the lineups and added some good pitching. And they earned that victory, guys. I mean, it wasn't – there's no ifs, ands, and buts.
Absolutely.
We could talk about Terry Collins leaving in Matt Harvey. That's going to be 50-50 on both sides probably. He's like, hey, flipping back in. He didn't have the opportunity. and the Royals just took to the next level too. So that's just kind of something where, like you said, Rob, I mean, necessarily it may not be in the bad decision, but he let Harvey kind of finish the game. And then, unfortunately, as we know, the Royals kind of took to the next level too. So, you know, hats off to both teams. I think it was, you know, both teams played well, obviously, till the end. But then, you know, there's some Mets fans that were kind of bringing back the ghost of Bill Buckner there with, you know, the air with, you know, Danny Murphy. But just, you know, yeah, got to give your hats off to definitely to the Royals.
Absolutely. And just my two cents, I enjoy watching good old-fashioned, really National League baseball that Kansas City played, you know, with defense and speed, mm-hmm, and moving the runners over. It was refreshing to see not a team waiting on a three-run bomb. And as far as the Harvey thing, he's your ace. And like Rob said, he's going into the ninth inning with a shutout. And Familia wasn't locked down in that World Series. He was good in the NLCS, but he wasn't that great in the World Series. So, you know, I'm not going to mess with Terry Collins, because if you take him out and Familia does the same thing, then you're going to say you should have left Matt Harvey in the game. So that's just my two cents. But, again, pass off to the Royals. You know, they deserved it. They had that World Series experience from last year, and it showed. Moving on, I'm going to throw it back to you there, Rob. Since we're doing it on Monday, we couldn't get the shout-outs last week. I'm going to let you get the fantasy shout-outs going here real quickly.
Oh, yeah, and these shout-outs are from Week 7. Of course, we're still in the middle of our fantasy with Week 8 still taking place with the Monday night game tonight between the Panthers and the Colts, which I believe, last I checked, Panthers was up 17-6.
Nope,
so we won't get into – we'll do – yeah.
They just threw a
what's the score now?
Corey Brown. It's 23-6. They just threw a touchdown pass to Philly Brown, to Corey Brown.
All right. Thank you, Cam Newton. You used some more than fantasy points. Even though I like the Panthers to lose, but it's kind of hard when you have a guy on your fantasy team and then you want him to lose.
Yeah, that's the fantasy messes up everything.
Yeah. but, yeah, getting back to obviously, we're still in the midst of Week 8, so we're going to do fantasy shout-outs from Week 7 of last week. The biggest winner in League number 1 was Gentilly Hot Sausage. Corey from Atlanta beat Monsters of the Midway 140.92 to 96.68, with the Bristol Bombers still in first place from Bristol, Connecticut. In League number 2, Fleur de Lis, that's Matthew from Indianapolis, with a 189.38 win over Turndown, 189.38 to 116.50. Yours truly still in first place in that league, the Dome Patrol. In League number 3, Irvin's team had the biggest win, 127.54 over Nola for Life. That's 127.54 to 78.10. Irv's team's from Atlanta, winning still in first place. And that's Aaron from Bristol, Connecticut. And after 1 week of our fantasy basketball league, in first place, Naptown Unibrows from Naptown, Indianapolis. Matthew had a 6-1-1 victory over my co-host, the Ohio player. Sorry, JQ. And
yeah, I don't know about that.
But that's just after week one in our fantasy basketball league.
I'm not good at fantasy basketball. I admit to it. I'm still getting my
feet
wet,
so you
got to bear with me. Yeah.
It'll come to you.
In a somewhat inspirational piece for Quan Alexander from Tampa Bay, sorry, Dre, he had a wild monster game against the Falcons on Sunday, and I know you got to see it firsthand. So I'm going to throw it to you, seeing it firsthand, playing the game of his life after losing his brother. He's from Annistown, Alabama, and lost his brother tragically before the game. Just give us your thoughts about what you saw there in person there, Dre.
Yeah, you know, it's always one of those things, too, where we always talk about life and football and little things like that, too. Obviously, you know, that's the game is definitely, you know, on a lesser scale whenever you talk about that, too, man. So I know definitely afterwards we found out about that, and we were just amazed at what happened. You know, obviously lost his brother. But he led the Bucks with, you know, 11 tackles and interception, mm-hmm, and fumble. I mean, he literally just kind of played the game of his life. So I'm not totally mad in that instance, too. I know the past couple of weeks the Falcons haven't played that well, fumbles and just kind of just playing penalties and whatnot too. So it's just kind of one of the situations too. But I definitely want to, pray for, Kwan and his family and whatnot too. That's kind of a tough thing too. And then, just that's a good moment. I mean, that's bigger than the game, if you will. And I know he had a lot of respect from his teammates, and just to see that in the locker room as my puppy's walking, a lot of love in the locker room too. So that was good for him to acknowledge that too. So my hat's off, and for him to even play, Lovie Smith was like, I left it up to him to play, and he wanted to play, and he definitely played the game of his life for sure.
Absolutely, go ahead and jump on that, Rob.
Well, this is obviously one of those situations where life is definitely life is always more important than football, but this is when it kind of becomes a reality here. When he lost his brother, got into a fight in Anniston, Alabama, and was killed. So it was very unfortunate. Of course, I know Kwan Alexander quite well from following him at LSU. A very athletic linebacker, and obviously this was a guy starting as a fourth round draft pick who Lovie Smith has been very high on. But ultimately, our prayers go out to him and his family in this particular situation.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't have a whole lot to add on that. I mean, sometimes the football game is just a release from real life, and when you watch him play that game, it just had that appearance that he was taking all of that, frustration and sadness out in the field and turning it into a positive for his team. And he helped the Bucks upset the Falcons, and not necessarily wanting to see that, liking the Falcons, but, and for him personally, I'm proud for him. Just got an update that Blaine Gabbert will, in fact, start over Colin Kaepernick this week. So our next topic has already been decided for us here, you guys. What do you think about that, Dre? You think Blaine has any chance to come in and do any better than Kaepernick? I think the 49ers are train wrecked either way it goes, but they made the decision early in the week, so I guess he can get all the snaps and get acclimated. So what do you think about that decision in San Fran?
Yeah, definitely a train wreck at this function. I think that Colin Kaepernick, guys, has kind of lost his confidence for sure. And it's just one of those situations, too, where, I understand if you're trying to jumpstart your team, but – yeah, I don't think it's the right move to do that. I mean, you definitely want to, and I know there's some reports from my sources as far as some things that are happening in the locker room with Colin Kaepernick and whatnot too. So, you want to have that foxhole mentality kind of rally around, Colin Kaepernick. But now, I mean, it's going to cause a lot more challenges for the team. And then we'll talk about the trade with Vernon Davis too. But I don't know. It does seem like it's a train wreck 100%, guys. That's my kind of thoughts about that.
Yeah, and just to jump in there, I read a report on Bleacher Report that two guys texted one of the reports on Bleacher Report and said they don't want Colin Kaepernick to start anymore, and this was before the decision. So there's a lot of dissension in that locker room. It's just a mess. Anything else you want to throw down the log on that fire there, Rob?
Well, it's one of those kind of situations. You're trying to see if you can get something started here, and obviously the 49ers are having some trouble. I know one of our topics was Vernon Davis getting traded to the Broncos. So, I mean, it looked like they may even be starting to have a fire sale toward rebuilding here. And, I mean, obviously this is it's a good opportunity. I think the 49ers are hosting the Falcons. So probably should be an easy win for the Falcons going on the road.
Don't say that.
Going to play the 49ers in the train wreck. And but yeah, I don't see anything. I don't think there was a reason why Gabbert was second string, so I can't see them winning this game.
Yeah, but I would have said the same thing about a rookie quarterback coming into the dome. So I'm not going to take anything for granted when it comes to the Falcons with the way they're playing right now. And let's just throw this in there with Vernon Davis. He's looked a little washed up the past couple of years, but I also read a report where he was challenging Colin Kaepernick in the locker room, and the offensive lineman for the 49ers had to jump in and defend Kaepernick. So I think that's part of the reason why Davis may have lost a little luster. But now getting Peyton Manning, he may get an uptick. Do you think Vernon has any impact on the Broncos moving forward? Because they haven't really had anything this year after losing Julius Thomas to the Jaguars in free agency. Do you think, I'll stay with you, Rob, do you think that he does anything for the Broncos this year?
I think he makes that team a little bit better. I mean, obviously, the Broncos defensively right now is just playing out of sight. And, so they're really strong on that side of the ball. if Peyton Manning could be 75 to 80% of what he has been in his career, he's going to make a player like Vernon Davis better. And that's just the bottom line. I mean, you look at Jimmy Graham this year, his numbers are way down from what they were with him having a quarterback like Drew Brees. And so I think you look at this type of situation. Now you look at Benjamin Watson, guys putting up Pro Bowl numbers as a starting tight end with the Saints. And so, I mean, a quarterback is going to make that much of a difference. And I think, you know, if he can give, if he has 75 to 80% of what Peyton Manning has had in the past, his numbers are going to improve.
Yeah, anything you want to add to that? I agree with that, Rob. Anything you want to add to that, Dre?
I agree 100%. This is one of those moves where this may have kind of pushed them up. Not that they weren't already up, but, you know, the defense played phenomenal, guys. You just add a little something-something with Vernon Davis. I mean, you know, he made, you know, obviously Peyton made my guy. He just got traded to the Jets. I can't think of his name right now. Guys, forgive me, but made him look good. So Vernon Davis is going to definitely add some value to that team. And I'm probably predicting right now, everything, no injuries, but it may be like a Broncos and Patriots championship game. So that's kind of where it's looking like, guys.
Yeah. Hold on.
Sorry. You're leaving out his Bengals, huh?
They got lots to prove right now, but I'm just saying defensively right now, we'll see. Maybe they'll get to the pre-championship game. How about that, JQ? Sorry, man.
Good win
versus the Steelers, by the way. Good game.
Absolutely. Well, we'll see because Cincinnati has to go to Denver for a Monday night game here, I believe, in week 16. So they'll get another test to see if they're really for real. But I hear you. They got to prove it before we can believe it. I'm just going to throw most of these injuries together because, I mean, this was a bloody Sunday in the NFL in terms of injuries. You got Le'Veon Bell done for the year, and being a Bengals fan, I don't necessarily want to see it happen like that. I want to beat the Steelers at their best, and that was just gruesome to watch. And Matt Forte with the MCL, Lockett had ligament damage in his neck. He had surgery today. He's gone for the year. And Keenan Allen out indefinitely with the kidney injury, which you never like to see. So I'm going to throw it to you, Dre. Just, you know, any one of those that you want to speak on, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, like we talk about it, man, we always hate to see this part of the game. I mean, it is, Robert says it all the time, man, it's definitely a contact sport, man, and it's a violent sport. So, you know, these players know what they're getting into, but, you know, obviously it's tough to watch. You know, I really hate to see Ricardo Lockett because he was looking like a promising young player. And I'm just happy that he's getting, like, full, you know, they said he had full motion and some of that too. Just, I just think that kind of is a tough injury because he was just getting started. You saw how he was making an impact for the Seahawks. So he was just getting started, man. So I'm not sure what's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to derail his career. So that's just one that's really, really tough to see, you know. So that's my two cents. I'll let you kind of go from there.
Yeah, go ahead and jump on that, Rob. Any one of those that stands out to you the most that you want to speak on?
Well, obviously the Le'Veon Bell one is, you know, a huge blow. I mean, obviously the Steelers are still in somewhat contention here. And, you know, Le'Veon Bell, you know, you can make a case that he was on his way to being one of the top one or two running backs in the league. And, you know, this is a sad part of the game, as Andre mentioned. You know, I always say this, you know, other sports are physical. I always say basketball is a physical sport, but football is a collision sport. And, and you know, you hate to see these, you know, and you think about two of your top fantasy running backs in most drafts with Jamal Charles and Le'Veon Bell, and they're both out for the season. So that's, you know, that's a huge blow. It's a huge blow to not only to the game, you know, if you lose those kind of players. But, yeah, this is definitely a blow to the Steelers because, I mean, I don't think they would have beat the Bengals as far as the division was concerned, but they would definitely – this could hurt them as far as getting that wild card in the AFC.
Absolutely. That's what I was going to jump on. And I know the Steelers fans probably hate the Bengals right now because that's 2 years in a row that Le'Veon Bell has had his knee destroyed in a Bengals-Steelers game. But the AFC North is always super physical if you think back to all those Steelers-Ravens games for one. And being a Bell owner, that actually hurts a lot too in fantasy. But, you know, it's the thing that comes with playing football. You can't get around it. But it was just devastating, and I think that's the injury to me that sticks out the most because the Steelers had the most promise. You look at the Chargers, they were already 2-6. Lockett is not necessarily a huge impact player for the Seahawks, but I hate to see that happen to him. But I think they can recover from that. So, and Forte, the Bears aren't going anywhere, and I think his injury is probably the least severe of the four. He's probably multiple weeks, similar to Big Ben, but not, you know, needing surgery and being done for the season. Okay, so moving on, I'm just going to let Rob, you know, have his time to shine, because that was a Pac-12, Big 12 arena football league game that we had in New Orleans yesterday between the Giants and the Saints. 13 touchdown passes, 7 for Breeze and 6 for Eli. I mean, what can you say about that, Rob? I mean, what's just when you think Breeze can't do anything more, he goes out and does more.
Yeah, you know, early in the season, you know, he got the shoulder injury against Tampa Bay. You know, didn't know, you know, how much of an impact that was going to have as far as on the season, but looked like he's bouncing back, you know, quite well. Obviously, if you're a Saints and a Giants fan, you're ecstatic the way your offense looked, but you're concerned about the way your defense looked. And so, obviously, those quarterbacks just torched each other's defenses in that game. Obviously, I was at the game, and it was, you know, entertaining game to watch. You know, very entertaining game to watch. But like I said, I guess for me as a Saints fan, you're excited that the Saints' prolific offense has returned, but you're a little concerned about the giving up 49 points as well. And, you know, in the Saints' case, in this particular game, penalties are what's really was killing their defense. I mean, you get stops, and then all of a sudden you get defensive holding, give teams another chance. And there was a lot of that going on in that game as well. So, I mean, that's something that they're going to have to get rectified if they want to try to get back into this wild card chase in the NFC.
I mean, goodness, Rob, you at the game on Sunday, you in Atlanta on Monday. I mean, this is like, where's Waldo?
Is there anything else you want to throw in
that there, Dre?
I got to say, so honestly, Rob, so we were at the game, right, and every time they flashed the score, we were like, whenever the Giants were like, yay, and then whenever the Saints were like, woo, it was hilarious. We were going back and forth. We were like, dang. And then every time we were like, man, that you know, it was like every time they were scoring the updates, it just seemed like, you know, like JQ said, it was just like somebody was scoring. So it was pretty hilarious in the dome, man. So, but, yeah, kudos. I know everyone thought Drew Brees was kind of on his last leg, but, yeah, he kind of rectified. He still got a little something to show and to prove.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and woo-hoo, I got him in one of those leagues as well. 7 touchdown passes is always great. So I was enjoying that. But, I mean, that's just one of those games that it's fun to watch for the fan, but for all the coaches on the field, you're like, oh, my goodness. From defensive coaches, it's like we have to go back to the drawing board because we didn't do anything right. 101 points is just – it's just outlandish. Before we shut down the live portion here, let's get to these NFL Week 9 predictions. Packers at Panthers, and the way Carolina's playing tonight and the way Green Bay looks bad at Denver, it's looking like Carolina, especially being at home. I'm going to go to you, Dre. What do you think about the Packers and the Panthers?
I knew you were coming to me. I got to be honest. Did not expect for the Packers get handled like that by Denver. Are we comparing the Panthers defense to the Denver defense? You know, that's a good call. And I'm surprised because it didn't seem like the Panthers have a lot of weapons. But the way that Denver was running all on the Packers, you know, I got to give a slight edge to the Panthers in this instance. I know that that Packers are going to be pissed, you know, so I'm just not sure what team is going to come out, man, but right now, as much as I hate to admit that, and good call, man, I got to leave with the Panthers, even though they're definitely proven they're for real, man. So it's one of those scary teams right now.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I think the Panthers win. What about you, Rob?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Panthers, too, in this one. I see the Packers losing two in a row. Obviously, Carolina's defense is playing outstanding right now. They're playing ball control offense for the most part. And so, I mean, I just think they're going to be a little bit too physical. Norman, is playing as good as corner play as anybody in the league right now. And, of course, they got their linebackers healthy again. So, that defense is outstanding. I think the game is going to be kind of close, though. I'm sure they're not going to have this rainy weather 2 weeks in a row. But I like Carolina to pull it out.
Yeah, and just to piggyback on Norman, he's out there pitching a shutout, I believe, still on T.Y. Hilton, who's one of the better wide receivers in the game. That guy right there is for real, and that Panthers defense is for real. And those wide receivers from Ohio State are showing up just enough for Cam to get some space to get Olsen open in the middle, and then that rushing attack with him and Stewart and Fozzie Whitaker and Tolbert has been pretty interesting to watch. They're playing some old-school smash-mouth football there in Carolina, and they are going to be a force to be reckoned with, I think, in the playoffs. One more, St. Louis at Minnesota. I'm going to go to you first again, Dre, and then I'm going to let you wrap it up, Rob, and give me your comments and take us into the OT. So St. Louis and Minnesota. Minnesota's playing good ball with Bridgewater, and they've Stephon Diggs has emerged, and you already have Adrian Peterson, but that St. Louis defense has been a monster. And, of course, Todd Gurley, you know, UGA representing, he is having a fantastic rookie year. So how do you see that one shaping up there, Dre?
Yeah, Todd Gurley has been playing phenomenal, man. So it's almost like a mirror image, right? Because you're getting like, I think he's kind of the next Adrian Peterson, next to Leonard Fournette, obviously. Fournette, excuse me. But
yeah.
I like St. Louis guys only because defensively I think that they're a little bit better than Minnesota. And I just think they're going to ride the Gurley train, man. So that's kind of me. I think it's going to be close again, guys, but I just kind of like St. Louis is on a roll. That defense is really, really physical, and they're going to force Teddy Bridgewater to make a couple of mistakes.
And I would agree with that before I get to you, Rob. I would agree with that. I think they're even offensively, but I think that St. Louis is that front seven and the secondary for sure. The whole defense really is just a tick and a half better than Minnesota defense. I think St. Louis defense finds a way to contain Diggs and a way to contain Peterson. Not hold them down, but just contain them enough for Gurley and Austin to make a big play in the return game and maybe one of those wide receiver screens in order for St. Louis to get it, I say, by a field goal. I would throw it to you, Rob. What you think?
Yeah, this is really a big game, too, because obviously if the season ended today, Minnesota will get that last wild card in the NFC. They hold a one-game lead over the Rams, so this is really a big game when you call tiebreaker ramifications toward the end of the season, possibly. So this is definitely a big game between the two teams. But I agree with both of you all. I like the Rams to go on the road and win this game. Todd Gurley is playing as good as any running back in the league right now. He's playing phenomenal. And Greg Williams and Jeff Fisher has got that defense playing lights out. They're playing nasty football, the style that they like to play. And, I think they're a better team. I think they're a better team than the Vikings. I think the Vikings are slightly overrated than what the record indicates. I like the Rams are going to win this game on the road. I'm going to say by at least 7 points.
Send your emails to Rob Ford at Sport. No, go ahead.
Hey, you all picked the Rams too.
Yeah, absolutely. And real quickly, Indianapolis trying to make a comeback. They just threw a touchdown pass to Fleener to pull within four. It's 23-19 Carolina with 2:27 left.
Wow.
So not quite over yet. Not quite over yet. Go ahead, Rob, and set us up for the OT portion if you don't mind.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we had a great live portion of our show yet again. We thank you all for tuning into the show once again. Next week, we're going to be back on Tuesday night, so stay tuned. Follow us, of course, on Twitter. Like us on Facebook, of course, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. All week long, we have lots of updates of what's happening in the sports world, so you definitely want to stay in tune with us. Write us, let us know what you think of the show. Give us some feedback. You agree with our picks. You disagree with our picks. Tell us why, of course. And next week, once again, we'll be back on Tuesday night. That's 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Pacific. For our friends in Hawaii, aloha. That'll be 5 p.m. Hawaiian time. Now, we're not done yet tonight. We're getting ready to go to an OT portion, 15 minutes of Power Pack Sports. We can't give you this portion live, but you can catch it on tomorrow, anytime tomorrow. Click on the same link, and you'll get this Power Pack 15 minutes. You don't want to miss it. We still got college football. We still have NBA. We got a little college basketball. Stay tuned. Click on this link on tomorrow, people. Good night.
Anything you want to add, Dre?
I got a move for every move you make. Woo!
And I'm just going to throw out there, hey, JT, call Uber. It works better. No negative headlines. That's just a point from me to you. All right, we're done with you. We're done with the regular portion of the show. And we're going to head into the OT portion. We're going to talk a little NBA. I know it's still early, but, man, my Lakers not looking good. Kobe says he is the 200th best player in the NBA. And, I mean, I think that's a little harsh, but he's come out and he struggled. But I think some of that was to be expected because he just hasn't played enough in the past year or so. Dre, what do you think about what he's saying about the 200th best player in the NBA? Is he just super frustrated? Do you think he's done? Or can he come back from this as the season comes along?
Yeah, I think it's probably because he has such high expectations, guys. And I'm thinking that, you know, he probably set the bar so high, and he's not a young man anymore, obviously. And there's certain things he probably wants to do, and he just can't, you know, especially coming off the injury and whatnot, too. So, I mean, I know he's realizing he's coming to the end, and he's probably frustrating and stuff and whatnot. So, you know, whenever you're your own worst critic, you know where you want to be. So I just think it's kind of ramifications about that too. So, you know, unfortunately he's coming near the end, we're seeing one of the great players and this is definitely his last season, man. So just kind of finish it strong and just kind of like go from there, you know?
I would agree with that. What do you think, Rob?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's one of those kind of things, fall to time catches up with everybody. I mean, obviously, and he's also getting up in age, but he's also had to battle some injuries over the last few years, too. So a combination of both of those things is kind of catching up with him. I know the other night he was with 3-15. I think he's 16-51 from the field so far in these first three games. So his shooting has been horrific. And, you know, a player of his caliber is going to be his own worst critic, and that's what you're seeing here. But, you know, I still expect him to play better than he is right now before the season is all said and done. Obviously, I still don't think the Lakers are going to go far or do much this season in the tough Western Conference, but I still expect his play to get a little bit better.
Yeah, and I would agree with all those points. It's just too low in the Western Conference, and outside of Kobe, they're just really too young at this point. I think they need some seasons to mature, and they're going to have to get another young superstar. They're going to have to get somebody to take that money to come to L.A. and be the future face while Russell develops and can become that, but he's not close to it, I don't think, yet. Moving on, LeBron, first player, to youngest player, to 25,000 points, but, you know, it helps when you come straight out of high school. We already know that he's just a phenom at this point, so anything he does doesn't really surprise me. Like I said, he got a head start, you know, getting an NBA at 18. But, Rob, anything else you want to throw on that? I mean, we know that he was the best player. I think there's now some question about whether he's the best player, but he's definitely in the top two or three.
Well, yeah, obviously, you can make a case that he's been the best player in the NBA for about the last 5 to 10 years. And obviously, this stat, obviously, like you said, coming right out of high school does help him. And he surpassed another guy who came right out of high school, so it makes sense that LeBron and Kobe will be at the top of these lists with them both coming straight out of high school. But it's a great accomplishment for LeBron James. Congratulations to him on becoming the fastest player to 25,000 points, well, the youngest player to 25,000 points in NBA history. So it's definitely a great accomplishment for him.
Anything else you want to add to that there, Dre?
Straight out of high school. No. LeBron gets a lot of
love. Not out of confidence.
No, like you said, everything that we've said, I mean, there's not enough accolades we can, you know, throw. I mean, this guy's been, like you said, guys, a phenom. And, you know, nothing else to say about that. I mean, obviously, I agree. There's some players that he's been compared to, you know, Oscar Robinson. He used to average triple doubles, too, but this guy has been a superstar and definitely been a joy to watch.
Absolutely. Staying with the NBA, Steph Curry just coming out smoking to start this NBA season, picking up right where he left off in the NBA Finals. I mean, wow, what he's doing is just amazing. Is he the best player in the NBA right now, Dre? I mean, he's making a serious case to say that he is.
I know we just talked about LeBron, but yeah, Steph Curry, and apologies, Rob. I know, I don't know if you had a chance to see what he did versus the Pelicans, but Lord have mercy. That dude was unconscious. And that's not a shot. I was just saying, wow, Scoring 28 in the third quarter, outscoring the Pelicans. That was just an amazing show. And right now he's definitely carrying that team, and just the confidence is just showing. And right now, I go and say it, you got to be kind of they're a scary team, guys, right now too. So yeah, right now, you know, he's the best player. He's going to take that mantle rip it away from LeBron.
Yeah, he's doing it. I mean, he's making a case, and I would have never thought 2 years ago that I would say that. Not saying that he was a bad player, but to say that he was better than LeBron James and not have people laugh at you. You know what I mean? The leap he's been taking, you know, every year has just been it's been a joy to watch. Absolutely. You know, of course, Riley has taken over the internet, so the Curry family is doing it real big right now. What else? You got anything else to add to that, Rob?
Well, I totally agree. I mean, I know we talked about LeBron James being the best player in the league probably for a good portion of the last 10 years, but I think, Curry has surpassed him this season. I've got a chance to see Curry play twice already, unfortunately, this season. I've been playing the Pelicans twice already this season. And, his shot is just incredible. He's got to be one of the best shooters that I've ever seen.
So quick.
He got a quick release. He can shoot it from anywhere on the floor. It's almost impossible to guard. LeBron still might be a better all-around player, but when it comes to shooting and scoring, Curry is just the best at it. I mean, it's just you can't stop him from scoring. He's unbelievable. And they already up by close to 20 points on the Memphis Grizzlies tonight, too. So I think I might have made a mistake in saying they were going to get off to a slow start this season. They still look like the favorite in the NBA so far, I would have to say that.
Hey, JQ, can I add one more thing, too?
Sure, go for it.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, my father-in-law is a huge Golden State fan. I remember whenever they first drafted Curry, and we saw him taking over Davidson, and he was like, man, Golden State, they drafted this guy, man, I think he's too small. And I'm like, he's a good shooter. And I remember this conversation, like, yesterday, and I was like, you know, I don't know if he's going to be a superstar, but I was like, that kid can shoot, man. And then we talk about it, he's like, yeah, man, I think I was wrong whenever – we drafted him. They didn't know, but they didn't, like, is he a point guard? Is he a shooting guard? They didn't really know what position to put him at. And I was like, well, he's a basketball
player. He's a scorer.
He shoots the lights out.
Right.
He was like, I don't know how he's gonna do in the NBA. I'm like, I'm telling you, Dad, he's a shooter. And then he always talks about it. He's like, yeah, I was dead wrong about that decision, man. So it's just one of those things where, you know, we look back at that just kind of like, man, you know, what could have happened? So there you go.
Yeah, and just to close that out, when he got drafted, I thought that he was just going to be his dad. You know, Dale was a phenomenal shooter, but he couldn't really get his own shot, so to speak. He had to be around another star that would draw some of the attention away, and he could get in that corner and just put it in your eye. So that's what I thought he was going to be, with Dale Curry 2.0, but he has far surpassed those expectations. So a shout-out to him and the work he's putting in the gym, because his handles he didn't have come out of Davidson that he has now. He's just phenomenal, so I'll give him all the credit in the world.
I was just getting ready to say that, JQ. His ball handling is phenomenal. You took the words right out of my mouth there. His ball handling has improved tremendously. He's known for his shooting, but he can handle the rock and he can dish it as well.
Put his work in, guys.
Yeah.
Until he put his work in. Yep.
Absolutely. I'm not going to go to this next topic because this is just Rob trying to make me mad about the decision to draft Russell over Moudet and Okafor. Let's just pop
a legitimate topic. I'm not trying to make anybody mad. Yeah, I show you love with Ohio State and the Bengals. It's a legitimate topic. Nobody trying to make anybody mad.
I love it.
Well, no, I know you're not really trying to make me mad. It's my own being angry at what's happening to the Lakers. But, you know, let's just pump the brakes. It's so early, you know, to even make that conclusion right now. Give it at least a year or two before we call him a bust. So, and, you know, I'm rooting extra hard for him being a homer and him being a Buckeye. So, okay, that's enough of that. I want to get to the college football playoff here because we're on the eve of them releasing the first standings. And I just wanted to get you guys' initial take of who you think, not necessarily who's 1-4, but who your four teams will be right now. And I'll stay with you, Rob. Who do you think right now? And you don't have to give me a number in terms of 1-4, but who are your four teams that when you see them come out tomorrow, you expect to be announced by the committee?
I'm going to actually give you who my four teams are going to be at the end of the season. And
okay.
This is just my prediction for the four that will be in the playoffs. I know it's kind of early, but I'm going to take a shot at it and see how it goes. I'm going to go to number one seed, Ohio State. I'm going to go to number two seed, Clemson. I'm going to go three seed, Alabama. I'm going to go four seed, LSU. That's my prediction for the playoffs once it comes. So that will draw us a matchup of Ohio State against LSU and Clemson against Alabama if it goes down like that.
See, me and Rob would not be on speaking terms. Go ahead, Dre, who are your four?
What do you mean? What do you mean you're not going to be on speaking terms? What do you mean by that?
Hey, man, we will have radio silence. If LSU plays Ohio State in round number one, I will not be able to talk. I will not be able to talk to Rob until that is over. And depending on the outcome,
hey,
I might need to
talk to
him.
It's a good thing we know each other when they play a national championship game in 08.
Hey. We ain't going to – you start bringing up old stuff. Go ahead, Greg, give me your four.
No, it's funny.
Damn,
it's funny
plan.
Really quickly because it's funny because, you know, every time that I look at a topic, it's 90 how I feel – JQ, and I'm like, Rob, man, he's trying to get us, man. You know, it's always funny whenever you read the show topics. But just to kind of piggyback on that point, I actually agree with Rob. I think it's going to be, you know, Clemson is – it's probably going to be, like you said, it's probably going to be Ohio State number one, Clemson number two. You know, you may want to flip-flop, you know, LSU, Alabama right now. Depends on what's going to happen. But those are probably going to be the four that it's going to end up to, too. So I don't really see – you know, anything else happening from that vantage point too. So that's kind of where I'm in agreement with Rob.
I'm close. Ohio State and Clemson, I'll give you. I think it's going to be hard for the SEC to get two teams in unless they get a whole lot of other things break their way. That means that you would have to have the Pac-12, I mean the Big 12, all those undefeated teams lose, and you're going to have Memphis lose because Memphis still has a very good win on their resume right now against Ole Miss. So I can see Alabama or LSU. I think it gets decided this Saturday for that third team, and then the fourth one is still up for grabs. I'm just going to say TCU for now because of Boykin, because he's so dynamic, but it's going to be fluid. Real quickly, let's get to some predictions. Florida State at Clemson. Dre, who you got?
Who? You got to go Clemson, man. Clemson is pretty unstoppable. I know that Everett Golston and Dominic Cook are going to be playing, but I just think Clemson is too much right now, guys. They're playing with a lot of confidence.
What do you say, Rob?
I like Clemson in this game, too. Closer than the experts think, though. I think Clemson, though, by at least seven.
I got you. I agree with that, Clemson as well. TCU at Oklahoma State. Rob, what do you say?
Upset here. Oklahoma State wins at home. I think TCU, other than Boykin, is overrated. I like Oklahoma State in upset.
Ooh, I can see that happening, but I'm going to go with TCU for now because of Boykin. What about you, Dre?
TCU.
All right, and the big one, LSU at Alabama. We're running out of time. We got like a minute and a half. LSU, Alabama, Rob, who you got? Well, I know who you got. Who you got, Dre?
Actually, I'm picking Alabama to win the game.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean – I'm picking, I want LSU to win, but, you know, LSU has lost four straight to Alabama, so until we can prove we can beat them, and Alabama's at home in this game, and, I like Alabama. You know, I predicted them to win this game in a close one. I'm thinking the field goal.
Wow. I'm going to go with LSU personally. What say you, Dre?
I'm going to LSU, and like I said, Rob, he's trying to play the Jedi mind trick, man. He's going to pick the opposite team, hopefully they win.
I hope both of y'all are right.
Yeah, well, I'm saying Alabama hasn't played that good at home, man. So, and, you know, they're going to try to do their thing, but I think that's going to be LSU. That's me.
Okay. We only got about a minute left, so go ahead and sign us off there, please, Dre.
Once again, I want to thank everyone for tuning in to Talking Sports for 12 Minutes. Excellent job, JQ, man. You kind of hit the flow, man. I love it. Appreciate the intro. We always enjoy you guys, so definitely tune in with us next week. We're going to be on the show next Tuesday. I know this is Rob's job, so I'm going to try to do the best I can. But we always enjoy talking to you guys. Tell your friends, listen to the link on Blog Talk Radio. And we are here every week for you guys. Peace.
Absolutely.
Good night, people.
I ain't thinking. Yes, sir. And yes, Mark Richt's job is in jeopardy. He's going, I mean, wow, that's just an implosion. But appreciate you guys letting me fill in again. Dre will be back on hosting duties next week. And again, appreciate you guys for downloading the show and staying with us through the OT. Talk to you again on next Tuesday. Have a good night, everybody.
Keep that link in there, JQ. Yeah, keep that link in there, man. We'll probably.